Welcome back to Arizona Spotlight. April is National Relationship Violence Awareness Month. While reported incidents of sexual assault have decreased over the last two decades, the statistics are still alarming. One in six white females and one in four minority women and girls will be sexually assaulted in her lifetime. One in 33 males will also experience sexual violence. While this issue affects people of all ages and from all walks of life, it's especially difficult for young people. Laura Markowitz brings us this story.
Rincon High School looks like a red brick fortress from the outside. But when you pass through the double doors of the administration building, you find a grassy central campus and 1,300 teenagers crisscrossing it to get to class.
Cassandra!
She's walking away from her German class, which makes me concerned.
Brenda Kazin is a school counselor. Last year, she and her colleagues began to notice a disturbing trend.
There was a lot of what looked to us like predatory behavior by boys, the competition to sleep with more girls and laughing about it, and just a real cavalier attitude about relationships and women. And it was kind of getting normalized by the girls that, you know, this is what we can expect, this is what happens. And we hear of students who get raped at parties or date rapes, and it's really difficult.
Half of all victims of sexual violence are minors. But Rincon's health studies classes don't address the rampant problem of sexual and relationship violence among teens. Instead, they teach abstinence. The Southern Arizona Center Against Sexual Assault, SACASA, used to come in and talk to students about what to do to prevent sexual violence. Last year, they tried something new. They trained Rincon students to educate their peers. One of the first students to volunteer to be a peer educator was Javier Robles Gonzalez.
I'm a football player, and like I go out a lot. And when I was a sophomore and like freshman and stuff, like I would go to parties, and like I would always see like the girl that was passed out, and like the guy's hooking up with her. And I was like, why isn't anybody doing something about that? And they're like, well, he has to get it how he gets it. And like, it was just like killed me inside. I'm like, wow. I was raised by a single mother, so basically like I knew like girls, they have feelings too. And like when I go to parties, I'm usually the guy that's like almost getting into fights because guys are like, why are you trying to talk to my girl? And I'm just like, no, I'm not talking to your girl, I'm just protecting her.
The sexual violence prevention curriculum isn't required, so Kazin has to get permission from teachers to allow it to be taught during their class time. As the second period 10th grade English class settles into their seats, juniors Denise and Imari step up to the blackboard and prepare to teach lesson 5. Imari begins.
Okay, so the first main topic that we're going to start going over are like rape myths. Do any of you guys have any idea what rape myths are? Like, it's the way people perceive rape because they want to excuse the perpetrator and put the blame on the victim, because that's the easy thing to do, right? Just pretend it never happened. So could you guys think of any rape myths that are out there? Well, girls who dress sexy are likely to get raped. Or
that's a myth.
A girl that sleeps with a lot of guys, I mean, who would rape her? She probably gave it up anyway. You know, things like that.
The students aren't completely convinced that girls who dress in revealing clothes and who drink too much at parties aren't to blame if they're raped.
Okay, so why do you guys think socially people tend to blame the victims instead of the person who committed the action?
You can put it off and say it's them. They're the victims. I'm not going to be a victim.
Mm-hmm.
It can be very comforting.
Yeah, to live in a fantasy world.
They move on to the next rape myth. You don't have to be a gay man to rape other men. Most of the boys in the class argue that it's only something gay men would want to do.
If you rape anybody, it's not necessarily about the sex. It is about the power and the control.
Yeah.
The same thing whether it's a man or a woman. You guys get what I'm saying?
The class had already spent 4 weeks talking about bullying and sexual harassment, and how the socialization of gender can lead to violence in relationships. They spent a whole class discussing the difference between consent and coercion. Imari thinks most girls and boys are confused by it. She remembers a friend from middle school whose same-age boyfriend choked her.
I mean, they were having sex. It's not like he raped her, but there was sometimes she really wouldn't want to, but she would anyway, like if she felt like she had to or something. That was really kind of, you know, sad. Now that I look back on it, like that was in middle school.
Young people who grow up in violent homes often fall into the same unhealthy patterns of verbal, emotional, and physical abuse as their parents and family members. They see it as normal.
A lot of people don't even know about this, and they don't even know that they might be in an abusive relationship or anything like that.
Or how they can get out of it.
Yeah, they don't know how to get out of it either.
After nearly every peer education class, someone has come up to Kazin or the peer educators and confided about an incident of sexual or relationship violence. Kazin remembers a freshman who was worried something was wrong with her. She'd been raped, and her mother told her she wasn't getting over it fast enough.
First, no one believed her, and then her mother told her that everybody goes through this, just suck it up and move on. You're thinking about it way too much, just get over it. I mean, it's heartbreaking.
There are many reasons why it may seem risky for a teen to tell an adult they were raped or molested. For one thing, the teen may still have contact with the perpetrator and worry about retaliation. If it was done by a family member, their disclosure could break up the family. Even when those factors aren't present, teenagers typically feel ashamed and humiliated by what happened to them, and they worry they'll be blamed or judged, or that no one will believe them. But when a youth tells any adult about an experience of abuse, the adult is legally mandated to report it to the police or to Child Protective Services.
A 16-year-old who's sexually assaulted may not want to report the assault.
Colleen Phelan is the Crisis Advocate Coordinator at SACASA.
Her parents may want to report it. She doesn't really have an option. Her parents are going to expect that she's going to listen to them. When we talk about rape, we talk about power and control. And so what we want is we want for the survivor of the rape to have all of the options possible and the power in the situation to take advantage of that. Teens especially just don't feel that they have their options because in reality they don't. Legally they don't.
Bruce Hesse is a school counselor at Mountain View in Marana. He sympathizes with young people who don't want to be forced to talk about what happened to them. But the former probation officer also believes mandated reporting is necessary.
It's a very tough process. My experience is once a kid begins to, once they tell the story, it's all like the burden begins to be lifted. Just being able to share with somebody who, if nothing else, will listen and sometimes can get you some help, someone who can point you in the right direction, maybe prevent this thing from happening again, it's important.
I think the most important thing about this work is talking about it, because until people communicate how often it actually happens, society is not going to believe the numbers.
SACASA created another option for teens to find support. On a Sunday morning, Phelan meets with four students from Tucson area high schools. They have volunteered to become peer advocates for an upcoming event that raises awareness about rape. The idea came from Rincon students last year. They realized that a teen who isn't ready to talk to a grown-up might be willing to open up to another teen. Phelan tries a role play with Ryan, a junior at City High.
Last night, I invited this friend over to my place, and he just pushed me down, and he had sex with me.
The absence of a no is not yes. Being here and talking to me about it is demonstrates a lot of personal strength that you have.
You're not going to tell anybody, are you?
No. Everything you say to me is completely confidential.
Phelan breaks character and points to the sign hanging in the front of the conference room.
I believe you is extremely powerful. It's not your fault, because it's never your fault. You're not alone. Help is available.
Like, if it happened to me, I would be scared to say anything.
Lisa Marie is an 11th grader at Rincon High School.
I really want people to know that it's okay. It's okay to tell your story. It's okay because no one's going to judge you here.
School budget cuts make it unlikely that Rincon will continue its peer curriculum in the next school year. But Bruce Hesse says Mountain View and other Marana schools will begin offering a similar program next year. In the meantime, a growing group of Tucson High School students are spreading the word to their peers, stop the violence. For Arizona Spotlight, this is Laura Markowitz.
The Southern Arizona Center Against Sexual Assault offers mental health services and crisis intervention for survivors and their loved ones. They also have a 24-hour hotline. We have links for information on the Arizona Spotlight page at azpm.org.